This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. U.S. President Donald Trump said Saturday that he would move next week to trigger a snapback of sanctions on Iran at the United Nations. Talking to reporters one day after the U.N. Security Council rejected a U.S. bid to extend a U.N. arms embargo on Iran, he said he'll be watching it next week. The United States has threatened to trigger the return of all U.N. sanctions on Iran using a provision in a 2015 nuclear deal between Iran and world powers known as snapback, even though Mr. Trump abandoned the accord in 2018. Diplomats have said the United States would face a tough, messy battle in any such move. Mr. Trump also said he was probably not participating in a 5+1 summit proposed by his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin. The Russian president called Friday for an online summit with the five permanent Security Council members plus Germany over a possible extension of the international embargo on arms sales in Tehran. U.S. President Donald Trump's younger brother, Robert Trump, has died after being hospitalized in New York. He was 71. In a statement, the president called his brother his best friend. He says he died Saturday night. He visited his brother at a New York City hospital Friday after White House officials said he had become seriously ill. The youngest of Trump's siblings remained close to the president. As recently as June, Robert Trump filed a lawsuit on behalf of the Trump family that unsuccessfully sought to stop publication of a tell-all book by the president's niece. U.S. President Donald Trump's top coronavirus advisor used a visit to Kansas to urge people to wear masks regardless of where they live. Dr. Deborah Birx, coordinator of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, said Saturday that the epidemic is both urban and rural. She was in Kansas for a meeting with the governor, Laura Kelly, as well as community and state health officials. This is VOA News. Globally, approximately 770,000 people have died from COVID-19. The figure is more than 169,000 in the United States and more than 107,000 in Brazil. There are well over 21 million confirmed infections, with the United States having the largest share, followed by Brazil and India, altogether totaling over 11 million. India is ready to mass-produce COVID-19 vaccines when scientists give the go-ahead. That's according to Prime Minister Narendra Modi in his Independence Day speech Saturday. In annual celebrations held at the 17th century Red Fort and scaled down due to the pandemic, Modi identified health and economic self-reliance as the key priorities for his government. He said not one, not two, but three vaccines are being tested in different phases in India. When we get a green light from the scientists, then there would be production on a large scale. At the event, soldiers who ceremonially welcomed Modi had been under quarantine days before the event. He also launched a national project to roll out health identities for each citizen in the country of 1.3 billion. He said records of every health test, disease, medication, and other details will be kept under a health ID. Two of Rio de Janeiro's most famous tourist attractions, the Christ the Redeemer statue at Sugarloaf Mountain, reopened on Saturday with new measures in place to stop the spread of the coronavirus. While Brazil still has the world's worst COVID-19 outbreak outside the U.S., a ribbon-cutting ceremony marked the reopening of the Christ the Redeemer statue, which was deep cleaned on Friday in preparation for Saturday's visitors. Sugarloaf Mountain also welcomed visitors once again with reduced hours and limited capacity. Social distancing, face coverings, and hand sanitizing are mandatory for visitors. Despite the gradual reopening, experts warn Brazil has yet to hit the peak of its health emergency. The United States is calling for transparent and credible investigation into the massive port blast in Beirut that killed 178 people and said Lebanon could never go back to the days in which anything goes at its ports and borders. David Hale, the U.S. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, said we can never go back to an era in which anything goes at the port of the borders of Lebanon that had to contribute to the situation. And I think it's very important. The Lebanese people will have to determine how best to do that. The devastating explosion occurred on August 4th, and authorities say it was caused by more than 2,000 tons of ammonium nitrate, which had been unsafely stored at the port for 7 years. Vast swaths of damage were inflicted throughout the city and left at least 300,000 homeless. Dozens remain missing. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.